I would actually be more concerned if I got them right now and then, you know, I'm immune compromised, you know, whilst the virus is still running rampant.
And then for transplant patients specifically, yes, they do have a worse outcome during the COVID era because they already have an organ failure and your risk of doing badly with COVID is dependent on your comorbidities.
It's month 4 of South Africa's national lockdown, and while some of us have begun to settle into the new normal, the danger COVID-19 presents to our country has not dissipated. SA is now one of only 5 countries to have recorded 500,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases. And while these are daunting numbers for all of us, for South Africans desperately waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, the mounting risks have them praying for a vaccine. In this episode of Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, we discuss how the pandemic has affected South Africans who are waiting for an organ transplant. What are their fears, given the extraordinary risks? Would they accept a transplant right now? And how has added pressure on hospitals affected the care they are able to receive? This short podcast series follows Sunday Times reporter Alex Patrick and senior reporter Graham Hoskin as they track, record, and reflect on the real events and people that make up SA's biggest COVID-19 news stories. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, I am Zama Letuli, and this is episode 14.
I'm 29. I turned 29 on the 2nd of May.
What? Happy birthday.
Thanks. Oh. I was in hospital, but it was all right.
You were?
Yeah.
Meet Natalie Hinton. The 29-year-old Edenvale woman had been on the lung transplant list for over 7 months. On the day that Alex managed to get in touch with her, Natalie wasn't feeling so well. But she says that not feeling well is pretty standard for her.
It happens every so often, like every couple of months, and I need to go into hospital for like IV antibiotics and stuff like that.
But what isn't so standard is how she is meant to deal with feeling ill during the COVID-19 pandemic. You see, Natalie is incredibly high risk. With her lungs failing, if she gets COVID-19, there is little doubt that she will become severely ill.
So is that what you're gonna do now?
I'm thinking it might be safer to stay at home because there's COVID in the hospital, but I'll speak to the doctor and see what she thinks is best.
The risks associated with getting treatment for people like Natalie are almost overwhelming right now. And that's even before you consider the life-saving surgery that many of them require. Dr. David Thompson, president of the South African Transplant Society, describes some of the challenges being faced by these patients.
So are you guys actually doing transplant at the moment?
So we haven't been doing many. So we are trying, but there's been a lot of, you know, resources repurposed and things and redirected during the COVID pandemic.
I mean, I also understand that in general these operations are also very risky. But at this time, is a transplant patient at more risk than a kind of general patient in the hospital?
So even elective surgery has a much worse outcome during the COVID pandemic.
Okay.
Because of increased risks of picking up COVID while you're in hospital, or if you get an operation with the stress that comes with that and happened to have COVID at that time. Even if it wasn't making you too unwell, the outcomes are worse. So that's across the board for all elective surgery. And then for transplant patients specifically, yes, they do have a worse outcome during the COVID era because they already have an organ failure, and your risk of doing badly with COVID is dependent on your comorbidities. So, you know, if you need an organ replaced, then you're definitely already quite sick. And then if they do get transplanted, then they obviously have to take immunosuppression for the rest of their life. So they also, that group of patients is also at higher risk of bad outcomes.
So even people who are not terribly ill and decide to undergo elective surgeries are having poor outcomes during the pandemic. But people like Natalie seem to be in a catch-22. Natalie needs a new pair of lungs to survive, but the risks associated with the operation, exposure to hospitals, and immune suppressant drugs are also likely to put her life at risk. So what do they do? For Natalie, she hopes a vaccine is found, and fast.
So, I mean, since we spoke last, how are you feeling? I mean, is it worse or better? And where are you on the transplant list?
So, like, the list, it's not really like a 1-2 thing when it comes to, like, lungs.
Oh.
It's more blood type. And so if there are, more than one match for a donor, then they will take the person who needs it the most, kind of a thing. But it doesn't often happen that there's, like, a few matches for one donor, but usually it's only like kind of one, you know, one fits one. It's just like a hurry up and wait.
Are you concerned at all that it's going to like leave you on the list for a long time?
Not particularly, no. I don't think so. I'm not too concerned. I would actually be more concerned if I got them right now and then, you know, I'm immune compromised, you know, whilst the virus is still running rampant. So I'm kind of hoping the vaccine comes soon and then I'll get the vaccine and then I can get some new lungs.
But Natalie has been hurrying up and waiting for a while now, and there is no telling when we can expect a vaccine to be developed.
And how long have you been on the list now?
So I've been on now for 7 months. My friend, she got lungs about like a month or two ago.
Wow.
And I mean, she was only on the list for 1 month.
Wow.
But the thing is that she is a different blood type to me. So like those lungs, even if she wasn't on the list, I wouldn't have got them. They don't match.
Dr. Thompson also tells us that there's a severe lack of organ donors in South Africa, making the competition for vital organs pretty fierce. This competition is made even worse due to organ donors being infected with COVID-19, staff shortages, but also the increased risk that these complex surgeries have in terms of infections. Dr. Thompson stresses that yes, there is a pressing need for patients like Natalie, but hospitals and patients need to weigh the risks during this uncertain time.
So you are still, I mean, you're having to perform these operations despite the risks.
Basically from a South African Transplant Society point of view, we said, look, it's up to each hospital and health system to decide how they want to repurpose resources during the COVID pandemic, because it's obviously quite labor-intensive surgery, and even the support afterwards. So our statement to the society, and I think it's on the SAPS website, was, you know, for each case, it's literally a risk-benefit ratio that the center needs to discuss with the patient. discuss in the context of what resources they have available, you know, where they are in the pandemic, and make that decision. The patient need hasn't gone away, but assessing that degree of risk. So, you know, if you wanted to bring in a living-related liver kidney donor, you know, for an elective procedure with a patient stable on dialysis, I think most centers have stopped doing that.
But we don't know for sure,
you know. Our center hasn't done a living-related, because that also means you're bringing a completely healthy person into the hospital, subjecting them to risk of being in a healthcare institution for a couple of days, giving them an operation where there's an increased risk of COVID. So that subjects someone who has no need for that risk. I always find a living-related kidney donor, you know, it's a stressful operation, because it's the only time you operate on someone who doesn't need the operation. So there's that dynamic, and then obviously there's the pressing need. So if someone's on dialysis but is running out of vascular access and won't, you know, be able to be maintained on dialysis, then that would obviously tip the balance that you need to more aggressively pursue those options. We also always have to, we wouldn't transplant a donor who's got COVID. You know, if there's a deceased donor, or we wouldn't transplant into someone who's got COVID, because the outcomes are so bad with that. So we would, you know, the same way we screen people for HIV, we would be screening donors for COVID as well.
South African Thoracic Society Vice President, Professor Richard van Zyl-Smit, also spoke to Alex. He said risks for transplant patients are just too high, which means that someone who may urgently need a transplant during this time will die. It's a devastating reality to have to grapple with. But Natalie is handling the situation in a fairly good humor and remains positive.
You're not getting upset about it, or you're not worrying about it that much.
You know, like, it's annoying, like, Corona, like, I haven't been to the shops, like, since the beginning of March and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, it affects my life that way, but, I mean, lungs will come when they come, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to be patient.
I mean, does it annoy you at all that people are like, oh, it's just the government trying to infringe on our rights?
It is a bit annoying. I mean, I do think our government, in the beginning, they handled it well, but now it is a bit ridiculous, you know, that, you know, you can go to a casino and a restaurant, but you can't visit your family.
Yeah.
Like, how does that even make sense? Cool, like, family, let's all go visit together at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the people complaining about masks, that's really annoying. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can't breathe in this thing. And you're like, really? I've been wearing masks my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I can't breathe already, and I will wear a mask. Like.
But for some patients, such as Stella de Kock, who is at the end stage renal failure, has been on the transplant waiting list since 2012. COVID-19 came as a real emotional blow. Stella tells us what she felt as transplants were halted completely during the initial phases of lockdown.
It's been a roller coaster, because before COVID, it was kind of like, yes, you know, you kind of like, you go on with your life, you know, keeping busy in that sense. But when COVID struck, it was kind of like a double whammy, because now it's, because in the beginning they put the transplants on hold. So it was kind of like, you know, now the transplant is on hold, and so it's kind of like now everything stopped, you know. And that put me in a quite, I would say, depression, you know, a slump. I was really like in, you know, okay, what am I supposed to do with my life now? You know, it's kind of like, you know, everything stopped. And then there was that fear of, okay, but you know, the dialysis, will we still be able to get, you know, the things to do dialysis, you know, because that whole uncertainty was also there of what impact will it have on the procurement of goods and the staff and all of that. You know, well, in the beginning, it was that whole, you know, that intense fear. And as time went on, you kind of like, okay, this is now the new normal, you know, it's going to be with us for a while. So that whole mindset was, it took a while to get there. And, you know, for me personally, it's now that thing of, if I get the call now for a transplant, you know, what's the risk?
So Stella has settled into the new normal, but like Natalie, she needs to weigh up her options. If she finally got word that a kidney had become available, would she take the risk? Stella says she's thought about it very hard.
Am I going to take it? And the short answer is yes, I will definitely take it, even though it's higher risk. But in the 8 years, I haven't had a call. So, you know, to now say, okay, I'm going to not take the call now or take the opportunity now and wait for another time when it's more convenient, does that mean another 8 years? So, you know, that's also the thing. So, yes, it's definitely more high risk. And in a perfect world, I would like to say to you, I just hope I don't get the call now and rather get the call when there is a vaccine. But, you know, you can't really kind of, you can't choose. So it makes it more difficult. It definitely makes it more difficult. And the fact that, you know, you're more high risk than other people, because I'm a kidney patient, it is a high risk. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's really difficult.
For people like Stella and Natalie, the development of a vaccine is critical and is something that they are desperately hoping for. But there is something that we can do to help people like Natalie and Stella in the meantime. We may not be scientists or be very helpful in the development of a vaccine, but we can become organ donors. By becoming an organ donor, we ensure that people like Stella need not wait 8 years for a matching kidney. Our editor Paige signed up during this edit, and according to her, it took less than 3 minutes and cost her nothing. If you want to help people like Stella and Natalie in your own special way, check out the show notes to this episode where we have added a link to becoming an organ donor in South Africa. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, a production of Multimedia Live, I am Zama Luthuli.
You are listening to Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown. Boots on the Ground is a short podcast series documenting South Africa's national lockdown as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. Boots on the Ground is a true piece of mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using nothing but smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Multimedia Live, a division of Arena Holdings. Narration done by Samar Lutuli. Audio gathered by Graham Hoskin and Alex Patrick. Sound design and editing by Paige Muller. Production by Multimedia Head Scott Peter Smith. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground for free, please subscribe to the podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.